On WINA's Best Seat in the House, Jed Williams talked with Clemson defensive back Ray McElrathby. McElrathby, a redshirt freshman, has custody of his 11-year-old brother. The NCAA recently granted McElrathby a waiver so he can raise money to help support him and his brother.
First of all, it's great to talk to you. I feel like I know you like a family member, having watched all this television about the McElrathby story the last couple of weeks. What have the last few weeks, Ray, been like in your life?
I mean, I've been very busy weeks. Growing weeks, a lot of interviews, a lot of TV time, just a lot of people, you know, sending me messages, inspirational messages. For the most part, that's been it.
Do you know how many interviews? Can you count the number of interviews you've done over the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks?
The number of interviews I've done in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I would say is around 55.
55. Now, some of those are in the state of South Carolina, but you've done some national stuff, right?
Yes.
What's some of the national stuff you've done?
USA Today, Time Magazine, ABC, World News, ESPN, New York Times.
Man.
NPR, Sports Illustrated.
What haven't you done? That's the better question, I guess, right?
I'm not sure. Oprah?
That's next. They're on the phone right after this interview, right?
I'm hoping to hear from Oprah.
That's right. So who's the most famous man in the state of South Carolina? Tommy Bowden, Steve Spurrier, or Ray McElrathby?
Faymar McElrathby.
Faymar. Okay, so how's he dealing with all this attention?
I mean, he's taking it as it comes. More famous than all of us.
Do you have to keep him humble a little bit?
Somewhat. I mean, he always tell me, his whole thing is he made me famous, as he says.
Oh, so he's your meal ticket. I got it.
Yeah. So he told me I'm going to be his driver.
Uh-huh. It's the story of Ray and Faymar McElrathby that we tell tonight on The Best Seat in the House. Okay, so last week you find out that the NCAA has given you and Faymar and your family a waiver, granted you special release, given you an opportunity to receive some assistance. This has been a really long, drawn-out, emotional ordeal, I'm sure. When you heard the news from the NCAA, Ray, what was your reaction?
I mean, I was elated. I was happy. All those great things. I mean, I was just happy everything came through for the most part. I was being optimistic through the whole process. So I never thought it wouldn't happen. I was just unsure of what lengths they would go to make it happen. So,
in the weeks and the months leading up to the NCAA's decision, how anxious were you? Was there a seed of doubt in the back of your mind that if the NCAA doesn't come through here, what are we going to do long term?
Nah, because I knew I would have always came up with something. I've been very optimistic through all processes through life. I mean, from my background to just football and everything. So, I mean, I just stay optimistic, try to see the best in everything, and not worry about things not happening or things not coming through, because, I mean, it's not going to help at all either way. So,
your attitude in reading the articles has been remarkable, and I know you've mentioned God and your religious conviction. How much has faith helped you throughout this entire process?
Oh, man, it got me here. I mean, that's the reason I'm here now, the reason we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a God fan. I mean, I believe faith got me through everything, prayer, faith. I mean, just staying in the word.
Ray McElrathby with us tonight as we talk about his amazing story on The Best Seat in the House. Take us back to your childhood in Atlanta. How difficult was that? How much drugs and just adversity and negative things were around you on a day-to-day basis?
I mean, it was a lot going on around me. From just people getting robbed, people playing dice. Things that at the time, I mean, I didn't really see as bad because it got kind of normal. The drugs, the shootings, gunshots, and people getting shot, people getting killed. It kind of got normal, which is kind of weird.
Mm.
But that was my neighborhood, though. I mean, I grew up there. It was weird.
How did you not get involved in that then? I mean, if that's what you knew, how did you know to steer clear of that stuff?
I mean, I didn't get through scot free, as I should say. I mean, I had my moments where I was almost into that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was times I used to smoke not too long, when I was in middle school. I used to smoke a lot. I guess I was depressed, as people might say. I doubt it, but it was just something I did because it was one of the things I knew. And even when I was younger, I almost got into it because I was just hanging around the wrong people. I never distributed, but I used to hold it.
Yeah.
because nobody would expect me to have it on me in the first place.
How was your childhood divided and your adolescence divided between living with your parents, or at least your mother, and living in foster homes?
I went through the foster process relatively young. I mean, I only been through that twice, probably three times. But after I stopped living with my mother, I lived with my coach, my little league football coach. And I started living with my little league football coach going to high school, and I started there with my AAU basketball coach. And so, I mean, as far as foster homes, I had foster homes really early, but after that, I pretty much athletically, I was staying with coaches.
After going through the foster home experience, how important was it for you to keep Famar out of that experience and make sure that he had a healthier childhood?
I mean, we both know the experience. Famar's been in it before. Him and my other brothers, I think all myself has been through the foster care system at one time or another. But, I mean, we all had the same standing on it. I'm wishing on nobody. So it's just a process that you don't want to go through because you're separated from your family, which is not a good thing. Because I always said I'd rather be with my mom with all her problems or be with my dad with all his problems than to be in the foster care system. Yeah. They want to feel the same way.
Ray McElrathby is with us. With that being said, you want to be with your parents, especially with your mother, but you made the decision last June that you wanted to gain at least temporary custody of your little brother. How did you make that decision, and why did you feel like that was the best decision at that time?
I mean, I felt it was the best decision because, I mean, I know, I can't say I'm a great parent that I knew anything about being a parent. It's just, I knew it'd be better than what he'll be going back to. So, I mean, that made the decision a lot easier, and I prayed about it, and some guy wanted me to do so. I took it as that.
Are you more his older brother or more his father and his mother combined right now? Which role do you think you fill more of, Ray?
Parent, more the parent role. I mean, I can't be his mother.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can't replace mothers. Fathers, I mean, you really can't replace biological father, but you can basically sit in for them. But mothers, I don't think you can replace mothers. I mean, I don't know, it's kind of connection. Because I know he misses my mother. I know he misses my father, too.
I can tell you, I'm 27 years old. My apartment's a mess, and I don't know how to cook. Have you had to learn how to do all that stuff the last few months?
Oh, man, I'm learning as it goes along, because I was still living like a 19-year-old for a moment there. And I'm still a teenager. I just realized somebody, you know, pointed that out to me.
Do you feel 19?
Or yeah, I'm
to a certain degree?
Tuesday.
Okay, so your birthday's on the way. When you turn 20 next week, will you feel 20, or will part of you feel 50 years old?
Nah, I've always been a little older than I had to be. Well, I always been a little older than I actually was because I grew up real fast, and through other processes, I grew mentally to learn how to deal with, you know, struggles for the most part. Things I don't have to go through. Well, I possibly will have to go through struggles when I'm older, but I've been through them early in life, so it's not that bad.
Ray McElrathby is with us. In the last couple of minutes, I don't want to trivialize this amazing story, but I do want to talk a little bit of football with you. What kind of effect has this life experience had on your football? Do you feel like long-term you can be a better football player, or has it been a little bit distracting?
I feel long-term I'd be a better football player because, I mean, as we always say, this is how we eat for the most part. I mean, this is how I got here, through athletics, faith, God, first and foremost, but through athletics, how I got to Clemson. And so this is how we got to eat, and now I have more than one mouth to feed, so I got to work twice as hard.
Has Famar's story and Famar the person almost been a rallying cry for the rest of your team and your coaching staff?
I mean, for the most part, it's been a wake-up call for a lot of people, and it's also been inspiration to a lot of people because – I mean, like I always tell people, I'm not the only one doing this. It's just that I'm an athlete. And so it's big on that scale because I go to Clemson, I'm a college athlete in that sense of it. But, I mean, there's other people doing the same thing. But for the most part, I mean, it's been an inspiration. I mean, it forced people not to be complacent, just get their priorities straight because things like what I'm doing with my brothers takes a lot of responsibility. And it just kind of gets you up on your game, as we say.
Let me ask you a final question. The decision came down last week. I think almost all of America was proud of the NCAA for doing and saying what they did. When I say those four letters, NCAA, what emotions fill you?
I mean, I always had a positive thing with the NCAA, because even when I was going through my clearinghouse moments, when, like, stuff wasn't going through right because they weren't accepting class, this, that, I mean, I still felt good about the NCAA. You know, they catch a lot of slack because a lot of people say they're heartless. I've heard all kind of names for them, sheep herders, hypocrites. But, I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with NCAA. I mean, I'm glad about the decision. I felt they were going to make the right decision all along. So I guess I'm very optimistic. So I just feel good about them.
Well, the good news is, Ray, you can get on to the rest of your life and on to the next interview, because something tells me Oprah might be on the phone in a few minutes.
Hopefully.
Hey, by the way, Ray, where'd that nickname come from? Because you're Ramon, right?
Ramon.
Where'd you get Ray?
It was originally Rara. My grandma called me Rara. My mom called me Rara because I kept up so much fuss. and then it got to Ra. And then my auntie decided to say Ray. And then they called me Ray from there.
It's a wonderful story, Ray, and I'm glad you shared it with us. All the best to you and your little brother and your family and your team the rest of the way.